On this show, you'll find inspiration, motivation, and advice from experts, as well as valuable tips on how to get started or improve your business. Let's dive into how you can begin and grow your wisdom business. Inspiring others looks different for everyone. How will you inspire?
Welcome to the Winestone Podcast. Today we're chatting with Carly Pepin. Carly, welcome. Lovely to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Nikki.
Oh, well, let's learn more about you. Tell us how you got started.
Yeah, so I actually, funny enough, I got started when I was in Australia. I was living there because I had left Los Angeles thinking that it was the city that was causing all my problems. And then when I moved across the world, I realized they were all inside me. At that point, I found my first coach. I really fell in love with the transformations that I was gaining. And then I started to study and take on my own mentors to become a coach myself.
Yeah. And so we started off how you got started. Now, what is it that you actually do now?
Yes. So now I help individuals. They come to me when they're looking to create a life by design instead of a life of duty. So when they're kind of waking up feeling stuck, stagnant, uninspired, unfulfilled, That's when they come to me to help them to transform that into a life that they'd love to design that would give them the opportunity to wake up daily and feel inspired, feel fulfilled, and find their own unique purpose, mission, vision.
Yeah. And that's why I asked you that first question, because it led into why you're doing what you do, isn't it? It's like, really, you felt stagnant. You felt like, what was I going to do? So This all comes from experience, obviously, then, doesn't it?
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
And what was the first big thing that you discovered when you were sort of saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do? You know, how did that all eventuate? Like, in the sense of, you realized it was all within, but how did you eventuate, like, translating that into coaching? What was the steps that you took to do that?
Yeah, initially the realization came from actually sitting in one of the consultations with my own coach and I remember looking at her and being like, oh my gosh, like, you're also getting insights on your own life and you're transforming. So I was like, when you help someone else transform, like, you also get transformations? Yeah. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, you're getting paid to help yourself? And she's like, and you help other people? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, where do I sign up? This is amazing. Yeah. And so it just was really inspiring to realize the capacity of what assisting and being of service to other individuals can do for you. Mm-hmm. And after that, I signed up with her mentors first because I really liked the process. Yeah. And it was inspiring because I went through my own intensive, I went through apprenticeship, and I worked with them for about a year. And there were certain things that they were able to help me go through and certain things where I got stuck. And then whenever I got stuck, I would carry on and I'd study and I'd educate myself. I study from people present day, but also from the past. You know, you think about all the great philosophers of our time, All the wisdom that they have. So I study present and past and continue to get certifications in anything that helps not only me transform my life, but I have certainty that's going to help my clients as well. So it really is a continual journey for us as coaches and consultants. You know, if we think about building a long-term business, right? Yeah. My clients can outgrow me if I'm actually not keeping up with the own work myself, right? So that's why I really like to continue and carry on with the study, because if we think about having a lifetime business and lifetime clients, if they're going to be studying out there, you better try to keep up and keep adding value, keep up with the market, keep up with the clients, keep up with yourself.
There's constant evolution everywhere, isn't it? On all levels. That's right.
Yeah. If you like evolution, having a business is a perfect route.
Constant, yeah. Chasing your tail sometimes, but anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh man. So what was the biggest challenge that you probably came across, let's say business-wise, and then we'll talk about, you know, actually getting out there wise to getting capturing audience and so forth.
Yeah. So business-wise, I would say it was the unrealistic expectation and buying into the fantasies of what people sell business as. So business is not, you know, they're like, be your own boss, set your own schedule, make your own times, you know? Yes, you can do all that, but get ready. Like, even though you are your own boss, your clients are also your boss, you know? When I have clients in India, that's a 12-hour time difference. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I'm up very late or I'm up really early in the morning. So I still have the same requirements as being in a full-time job. Mm-hmm. So people kind of sell this fantasy that it's going to be better. And it's actually the same. You still have the same level of restrictions and requirements. You're just doing something that you want to do instead. And it takes a lot more energy and effort from you and active engagement to actually build a company, as opposed to just stepping into a company that's already built and serving that. So it really does take a lot of work. And it's interesting because I see it all the time, where that the people who are the most successful aren't the ones who are the smartest, the most intelligent, but they put together the plan, they put together the strategy, and they're taking daily action. Because most people give up if they're not getting the results they want or think they should have. But the people who really dedicate to, like, oh, I didn't get the results I wanted this month, this year. Yeah. What can I learn? What can I do differently? Who can I hire to assist me in getting to those next steps? And those are the businesses that really, really succeed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about reviewing, revising, reviewing, not just, you know, why isn't it working, you know, and then giving up. Yeah. But I love the reality that you put in there, because it's the truth. But so with respect to the other side of challenges, getting out there and becoming, you know, that trust, building that trust, gaining that audience, how did you go in that perspective?
Yes. So there are so many different ways that you could do this. And what I love to do is I like to break down, like, I'll look and I'll be like, well, how can I actually reach people and connect with people? And I break down all the different ways that I can do that. And then I look at that list and I say, which ones do I love the most? And those are the paths that I actually focus on. Because if we're trying to build a box around ourselves, around, you know, this person did it this way, so I'm going to do it that way because that's how I should do it, you're not actually going to do it. You're going to procrastinate. You're going to hesitate. And you're going to get frustrated with yourself. I love speaking. I love speaking. So this year I was like, oh my gosh, why don't I just speak more? I'm going to do, I was like, I'm going to do a podcast every week because I love this so much. And so it's not hard for me to find a podcast, to connect with people, because that's what inspires me most. If you asked me to sit down and write a book this year, I am not wanting to do that right now. So now I know it's valuable and one day I'll most likely do it, but this is not the year for that. So being realistic, because if I force myself to do that, I'm going to judge myself. I'm going to be mad and angry because there's something wrong with me and I'm broken. But the truth is I just don't actually want to do that. So why not focus on the things that are valuable to you that you love? And one of the things that I love is I love learning and I love studying. And so my initial business was actually all going to workshops and courses and learning how to create clients off of those events, because that's what I loved the most. So how do I connect with people? How do I communicate with them in those areas and arenas? And then after that, it started to focus on, okay, cool. Like, I have a great client base. How do I create referrals? How do I create such amazing results that people want to send other people to me? And then it's like, it's just next step after next step. What do you love to do? Because after I stopped doing as many courses, I was like, I just love doing the one-on-one. And it's like, okay, cool. How do I create more clients off just doing one-on-one? And that's when it was like, provide the best results you possibly can. And how do I do that? Study, educate, do the work myself. You know, and just keep diving in. So ask yourself those questions. What do I love to do? And it doesn't mean that you're never going to do the things on the list that you don't love to do. It just means it's not there today. So focus on what's important today, because you'll wake up every day inspired to do it, no matter what's going on.
And that energy level will be there, and people pick up on that energy level and they know that this is what you're wanting to be doing. Whereas if you're sitting there and you're procrastinating, you're like, oh, I don't want to do this. People are going to be like, well, she doesn't want to do it.
You don't like doing videos.
Obvious, yeah. People, where you could tell when
no one's signing up for you. Yeah. No one's signing up for the person who's like, yeah, this is what I offer. Yeah. And this is what we're going
to
do.
If you hate it.
Yeah, don't do it. Like, it's like you said, do the thing that energizes you so that people get a feel for who you are and what you're sharing.
Yeah,
I love that. Really. Thank you.
And you know what? We're orientating a lot about showing up, like, this month and next month, because it's like so many people have a fear of, you know, I've got to do videos, or I've got to do this, or I've got to do that. And it's like, well, it's not about necessarily that. It is about just doing what is right for you, what you feel comfortable doing, because people are going to recognize that. So first, feel comfortable with yourself, but then just build up to it. And there are stages people can go through to build up to, you know, what would possibly work for your clients. Because I know, yeah, there's some people out there that are just like, you know, I want to be a coach, but I really don't feel comfortable doing, you know, the whole Zoom thing. What do you say to those people?
Yeah, right. I know right now Zoom's like a big, big aspect of life. Now you actually don't have to do Zoom. I know people who still do in person. Mm. There are limitations to Zoom and there's limitations to in person. Yeah. So if you're just going to want to do in person, it's time to figure out how you find the clients that only want to do in person. Because I have some people who only want to do in person and they won't work with me because I only do Zoom. And that's it. So it's funny because we have these restraints that we put on ourselves because we see something existing in a world in a specific way. Mm. But the reality is there's 8 billion people on this planet. I guarantee you, you could find some in-person individuals who would love to be present with you. I promise you. And the question becomes not if I can do it, it's where are they? Where do I find those people? And probably you'll find them at in-person events because they're already going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What's the biggest win that you've had or experienced through this whole journey of yours?
Yeah. So I would say it's really connecting with unique vision and unique purpose, right? And really understanding truly who you are. Because as I said, there's so many different ways that you can build a business and so many different ways you can grow yourself. But if you're trying to do it in a way that's actually not inspiring to you, procrastination, hesitation, frustration sets in, and then you start beating yourself up because you don't look like everyone else out there. Your business doesn't look like it, your message, all those components. But when you focus on your own vision and you only compare yourself to the progress that you know that you can make, then guess what? All you're doing is you're giving yourself feedback of, okay, cool. This is my next step here. This is my next step here. So it gets rid of all the outside voices and it allows you to focus on what's most important to you because you don't want to be anyone else but yourself. There's already the person you're comparing yourself to, they're already out there. They're already doing something. Don't go compete with them. That's competing with someone who already is innately doing what they love. Yeah. It's more important to find and connect with who you are, what that message is, what your mission is, because nobody can compete with your mission. There's no one person who has the same experiences, the same insights, the same background, the same education. There's no one person that has that. And when you tap into that, it's less about competition and more about, oh, you know, my business went down this month, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do I reach more people? How can I connect with them? Not like, who's doing what out there? And I'm going to go do that because they're doing well. You know, it's more like, that's how can reactive. I connect with them? You're reacting. Instead of focusing on the service and the authentic service that you would love to give.
Yeah.
And it really works. Service.
I'm hitting my head like crazy here, by the way.
Yeah, service creates money. Yeah.
It's, you know what, at the time of this recording, I was literally having a meeting this morning with a group of friends and we were talking about comparing ourselves. You know, sometimes we will fall into the trap of, oh, hang on, they're doing this, or I should be probably at this point now like those people are, or this should have happened by now, or blah, blah, blah. And it always comes down to time. One, being patient and realizing that things don't come instantaneous. You might be able to do the work pretty quickly, but the results don't come quickly necessarily. And that's when we fall into the trap of comparing, thinking we're supposed to be doing this, we're supposed to be doing that. And then we go into this reaction mode. It's like we try to think, oh, hang on, yeah, they're doing that, we need to do this. And then you end up creating this whole world of nightmare and workload and all that sort of stuff. No, that's a really good point. And I appreciate you saying that because it is so true. It does come back down to the whole, just look at what you're doing, concentrate on what you're doing. It's such good advice there. What's the best for you? Because now we're talking about you, literally just about your journey. What's the best thing that you've seen that has worked for you with respect to coaching, you know, just a one-on-one? Do you create courses? Do you do sort of one-to-many? Like, what's the best thing that works for you?
I love one-on-one. I love it so much. I absolutely adore it. Yeah, I love it so much. Oh my gosh. It really feeds my soul because I do also have a high value on relationships and family is very purposeful to me. So it feels like my extended family. So I don't think I'll ever stop doing one-on-ones. I know that you can, and it's like way more profitable to do other things, but I don't think I could ever stop. It just feeds my soul. And then the other thing I do is I do workshops. Like I do workshops because again, I love the groups and I love the idea of building community. community and building family and building connections. And even in our group workshops, and I run them with my husband. So again, here comes family in the picture. All coming in. Even in our group workshops, I mean, we've had people who have been there since we started them, you know, so it's really quite inspiring, and you kind of get to follow people along in their journey. Yeah. So those have been my favorite ways to do it. I do have the pre-recorded courses and stuff, which I put online, but are they my favorite? Absolutely not. Not. My favorite are being able to connect with people in front of me, and either in the form of the one-on-one or even just like the one to the many. But I do just love connecting with people.
And you actually see that moment, the moments of progression, or the moments of, you know, where you, especially the one to many, you see, you know, your group, and you might pose a question, and then you see one person answers this way, another one person's that, and then all of a sudden there's this whole, you know, interaction between the group, and you're like, oh, they're starting to feed off each other. And it's awesome as an instructor, or, you know, coach, just watching these things come to life, because you learn a lot. Like you said, you know, it feeds the soul. It really does, doesn't it? It's just like you're really sort of going, oh, seeing things happen. It's awesome. They're the biggest.
It absolutely does.
And I love to ask my guests this question, which is, you know, what legacy are you looking to leave?
Yeah, I want to assist people in creating transformation in their lives. And I'm doing it in the ways that are most inspiring to me. So I love, like I said, I love family. So I'm looking forward to creating like family legacy. And it's so inspiring to study families and their legacy and how they actually pass it down from generation to generation. You know, there was a business in Japan that was like 1,000 years old, and it was only this century that it actually left the hands of the family and moved on to another company, which was amazing. Like, it gives me chills thinking about the possibilities, right? So I'm definitely going to do that. And I'd love to assist in transformation on information left behind. You know, like I said, books aren't right now, but I will do books, books and information and videos. And then I'd love to create spaces for people to gather and come together. So for me, that's like hotels and places where we travel and we get to experience different culture, because not just sitting down and working on ourselves creates transformation, but when you drop yourself into another culture, another world, it really humbles you to realize how big this planet is and how we really focus on these judgments and these assumptions about life and the world. And then you go to this other country that's completely different, and you realize like, wow, I've actually been really thinking small. Like, there's so many possibilities, and this entire country functions in a different way than mine, and they're actually thriving. And I've judged them because I just didn't understand their culture. And so I love, that's another thing, just creating those spaces to create transformation through experiences as well in that form.
And that's beautiful. I love that, because it's just opening eyes to what else is out there, and seeing how things function. With respect to procrastinating, right? So that's, you know, obviously your world revolves around that, and we all procrastinate. I remember saying that, you know, hearing that as a child, my mother used to say, you're procrastinating, go to bed, you know, you're making up excuses, stay up, you know. with you know, this world that you live in and the clients that you have and so forth, what's the biggest pain that seems to be the issue with procrastination that you've discovered along the way?
Yeah, it's the self-judgment. So the self-judgment on procrastination, because that's where the actual pain comes from, because there's nothing wrong with procrastination. It's feedback. And so the pain only comes through when we perceive that it's bad or wrong. And that's a judgment on ourselves, right? So that's the self-judgment that we're not doing something we think we should be doing or supposed to be doing. And procrastination only sets in when you're actually not doing something that's not valuable enough. And what's interesting is on the back end of this, in other areas of your life, you'll be taking daily action without having to think about it. You won't be procrastinating on what's more important. And it's to pay attention to what that looks like. So, and when I say like, I love family and family is important to me, right? So I'm building a business with my husband, right? I have a business with him. I built a business with him. I've even built business with my parents. I could sit there and try to do things on my own. And I have my own business, but if I only focus on that, it's not actually that valuable to me, because I also have such a high value, and it's so important to me to build it with family, that I spend more time and energy also creating things with them. Yeah. And so if I'm just shooting myself, like I should do all this on my own, I should have it this way, I'm going to procrastinate. But if I say, you know what would I really love to do? What does that look like for me? What's most important for me in my form? And if it's with my family, great. If today's the day that I want to spend, I don't have kids, but I know this comes up a lot for moms or dads. If this weekend's the weekend where I'm like, you know what? I don't want to work this weekend. I know I should complete this course. According to who, but I would love to spend time with my kids, right? And then when you spend time with your kids, what you're not realizing is all that information that you wanted to come through came through because you chilled out and you disconnected for a second and you focused on what was important to you. You got inspired and your executive center came on and you did it. So when you're procrastinating, focus on what you're doing instead and realize like that's a really important thing in your life and you don't want to drop it. You want to actually give yourself permission to incorporate that into your life and then know that because you're inspired, you'll be more inspired to put the energy and effort into the other things later, right? So the more you give yourself permission to do what you love, the more inspired you get and the more alive you are to actually have the energy to do all these other things.
I love that, Carly. You're freaking awesome.
Yeah.
It's so true. And how many times have we sat there and we've just like, you feel like you've got this block, like a writer's block or something like that. And then you go off and do something else. That's just like you go for a run or whatever it is. And then you come back and you're like, I had all these aha moments. It is just like that, isn't it? It is literally just
moment.
Yes, yeah. Doing what you love. But it's every, and sometimes we sit there and think we feel bad, don't we? Because it's like, no, I shouldn't be doing this. I should be doing that. It's like, well, no, in actual fact, it's probably something energy is telling you. You need to just drop it for a bit, concentrate on what you really want to be doing, and it will come just exactly what you said. I love that. You're freaking awesome, Carl. Love it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful example too. So it's like go do what you love and then you come back and there it is. You can write.
Yeah. Because you're just opening up the door, aren't you? You're sort of relaxing that mind. It's like, you know, just really, yeah. And you know what? We do what we do. You know, we live. We don't, you know, what's the saying? We don't live to work. We work to live. And it's like, we've just got to remember that we're living life and, you know, you've got to do things that you enjoy. And anyway, I'll shut up about
that. I love that. No, that's actually perfection. And it's funny, when I was living in Australia, that's the biggest thing that I learned out there. Yeah. It was a difference of the culture. I was like, gosh, in the US, we're really like living to work. Yeah. And I was like, these people are working to live. And I was like, I'm going to switch this up when I go home. So,
But just like you said right at the very beginning too, it is, you've got to concentrate on what you enjoy doing and what comes easy for you. And things will grow from there, don't they? Like they really do. And that's the biggest lesson, I think, with our conversation. And I've loved it. It's absolutely bloody awesome. And it's so true because, yeah, procrastination isn't the issue. It's the crap we put on ourselves from it. Yeah, that stops us. So true. Well, like I said, Carly, you're bloody awesome. You've been awesome to chat to today. And do you have an offer that you'd love to share with our audience?
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been amazing talking to you as well. I really appreciate the back and forth. And I would love to share with them, I do have a free training that I put on every 2 months. And so it's about overcoming limiting beliefs so that you can move forward, create that life by design, which we're talking about. So I'd love to invite individuals to come there and get some more information and insights.
Fabulous. Well, the details of Carly's offer will be in our podcast summary below. Be sure to click on the link and don't forget to subscribe to the Wise Zone podcast. Again, Carly, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Wise Zone podcast. If you enjoyed and have been inspired by this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, do subscribe and please share it with others. Post about us on social media or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, Nikki Kelly, you can follow me on Instagram at Wise Dome Podcast, WISEDOME Podcast. I'm Nikki Kelly. Thanks again, and we'll catch up next time.